It's the other big statewide political race in Illinois this election cycle. It's not the Senate race. It's part of what is labeled as a proxy war between Governor Bruce Rauner and House Speaker Michael Madigan. This week, we talk to the major candidates for Illinois State Controller. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Republican State Controller Leslie Munger was appointed to that post by Governor Rauner after the sudden and untimely death of her predecessor, Judy Barr Topinka. This is a special election to fill out Topinka's term, and the incumbent is running to keep her job. Her chief challenger is the Democrat, Chicago City Clerk Susana Mendoza. Also in the race, Claire Ball, the Libertarian Party candidate, and Tim Curtin of the Green Party. Well, in this half hour, we're going to talk with the top two contenders. First, we're going to spend some time with the woman running hard to try to unseat the incumbent, Democrat Susana Mendoza. She is the city clerk now. She was a state representative before she became part of Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration. She joins us in the WBBM studios, as she has done several times before. Susana Mendoza, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always great to be here, Craig.
Well, most of the news stories on this race have portrayed it as really being a contest between Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the Illinois House, and Governor Rauner, who has been locked in a budget stalemate with Madigan since almost his first day in office. So how much of a shadow has that high-level fight cast on this campaign?
Well, obviously a huge one, and that's unfortunate because, you know, unlike my opponent who ran for state representative and was rejected by her voters and then was handpicked by Governor Rauner and given an appointment to one of the most important offices in the state of Illinois, I, on the other hand, have had to present my credentials before voters on 8 separate occasions and have been chosen by the voters, not by some party leader, to represent the people of, for the most part, in my experience, the people of the city of Chicago. First, as a state representative, when I actually got elected by running against the Speaker of the House's preferred candidate, first time I ran, I lost by 55 votes. The second time, he doubled down against me, but I won, and I won with 55% of the vote. So I've actually had to earn every single position that the voters have entrusted me with. And I think there's a humongous difference between my experience earning the people's vote with my credentials or my opponents, who was just literally handpicked after having been defeated for a simple state rep race. Having said that, this is totally being billed as a proxy fight between Governor Rauner and Speaker Madigan, and I reject that notion, primarily because of the experience that I've earned, but also because it discounts, you know, really all of the hard work that I myself have done in every position, whether it's been as a state legislator and certainly leading the city of Chicago, office of the city clerk, transitioning it, transforming it from what was once seen as an inefficient do-nothing office to what is now seen as a model in government efficiency. People who used to wait 2.5 to 3 hours long in line to buy their city sticker now wait 5 to 10 minutes. They're in and out. That happened under my leadership. Nobody held my hand. I have an amazing staff. But, you know, the mayor didn't do that. The speaker didn't do that. I did that. You know, my name is Susana Mendoza. And while Governor Rauner would like to, I think, create this narrative as well, that this is a proxy between him and the most powerful Democrat in the state of Illinois, I would say this has become a proxy between Governor Rauner and Susana Mendoza, because that's my name. And the minute he spent $1 million buying the office of the comptroller, and more importantly, the minute my opponent sold the office of the comptroller, sold its independence to Governor Rauner, her sponsor, as she calls herself, his wingman, you know, this became no longer a fight between or a contest between myself and my opponent. My opponent now, I believe, is more like Governor Rauner. He might as well be Comptroller Rauner. So at the end of the day, on November 8th, if voters give me the opportunity to once again earn their trust and earn their votes, I won't allow the governor to say that he lost to the big, powerful Speaker of the House. He's going to have to own the fact that he lost to a little 5'3" woman, Mexican woman at that, from Chicago, called Susana Mendoza.
But Leslie Munger's ads and her rhetoric try to paint you as matching the cadence set by the Speaker, and that you're part of a legislative status quo that got the state into this fiscal mess. You have called Mike Madigan a mentor. How do you assert your independence? Yes, you ran against his candidate before, but it wouldn't be the first time somebody, you know, opposed him before, but then fell into line later. At least that's what she's saying. I mean, can you think of issues where you differ with Speaker Madigan?
Sure. I mean, I've differed with him on many instances, and one of them that most people don't know about, which is probably one that would make most people's knees weak, was in when he first asked me to support then Senator Lisa Madigan for Attorney General in the state of Illinois. I mean, you're getting as personal as you can get when he asked you to support his daughter, and I had already made a commitment to someone else. At the time, it was Tom Dart, who at the end of the day ended up running for a different position, but he was running for Attorney General at that time when I was asked to support her. As much as I have a lot of respect for her, I said I already made a commitment, and I'm sorry the answer is no. And then he asked again, and I repeated my original answer, which was no. And that really takes a spine of steel, right? Because most people would have maybe changed their mind about it, circled back, figure out a way to get out of their commitment. But I've always been a person of my word. And while I think the speaker may not have liked the answer at the time, he probably respected the fact that I had the moral fortitude, right, to actually keep my word and say no. And so this image that has been created of this, like, fierce, iron-fisted ruler who will cut your head off if you oppose him has never been my experience. And at the same time that I've been able to stand up to people, not just the speaker, but also the governor of the state of Illinois, a Democrat, when I led the impeachment efforts against him, also to the mayor when he tried increasing dramatically the price of city stickers in the city of Chicago in my first year at the height of his popularity, I stood up to him and we went at each other hard publicly. You know, I've never backed down from a fight when it's the right thing to do. And I've never been, you know, too afraid to stand up for what I believe is right. And that's going to continue. On the other hand, my opponent, while she's telling social service providers that there is no money, while literally social service providers have had to close their doors and people are going without critical services, she's approved already on two separate occasions now performance bonuses for state employees per the direction of Governor Rauner. Now, she'll tell you that, oh, I have no way of knowing if those are truly bonuses versus salary. I just, you know, I just get the vouchers and I pay them. Well, guess what? When I'm comptroller, I'm going to know what I'm paying and I'm going to know why I'm paying it. But more importantly, I'm going to know why I'm not paying it, because I will not be paying performance bonuses to employees per the governor's request, especially during an election season, but most especially when there is no money. So I'm not going to tell a social service provider no because I need to pay some of the governor's preferred employees. That's wrong on so many levels. It's what's happening today. And you cannot continue to claim ignorance, because part of our job as comptroller, and I'll tell you what I'll do on day one, is send out a accounting bulletin to every single state agency. She could have done this. Comptroller Dan Hines confirmed this with me, that she could have and should have given out accounting bulletins to every state agency asking for a very clear description of what is base pay versus bonus pay, so that she precisely couldn't claim ignorance on this issue. So one time, maybe we give her the benefit of the doubt. Twice now in the matter of a few months, inexcusable. It's 100% catering to the whims and the demands of this governor, and that's just wrong. We need an independent, truth-telling fiscal watchdog in the office of the Illinois Comptroller, and that's exactly what I'll be.
Figures from the State Board of Elections say you've raised about $2 million in campaign contributions since March. That may sound like a lot, but it's a fraction of what Leslie Munger has raised. More than half of the money you've raised is coming from unions and their political arms. Should voters worry about that if you're going to be keeping watch over how Illinois is spending its money?
Worry about me and the money that I've raised? Absolutely not. I mean, first of all, I know
from union.
Yeah, she likes to attack the fact that I've received a lot of support from organized labor, but, you know, I'm very proud of that. My father was a union pipe fitter. My father-in-law raised 9 kids as a member of Local 176 electricians out of Joliet. The money that I've received are dues that hardworking men and women contribute precisely to support candidates that believe in organized labor from the extent of hardworking men and women. That's exactly what I've grown up knowing. So I think they see me as an advocate and a fighter for them, at the same time that my opponent, maybe one of the reasons why they're so not wanting my opponent, is because her campaign chairman is Elizabeth Brandt, Mayor Elizabeth Brandt of Lincolnshire, the same hometown where my opponent lives. She still has her listed as her campaign chairman, but denies that she's her campaign chairman. You know, a couple months ago, we talked about this at one of the editorial boards, and she said, she's not my campaign chairman. That's not true. It was an accounting error. I need to fix that. She still has yet to fix it. You know why? Because she is her campaign chairman, and Governor Rauner wants her to be her campaign chairman, which is why these documents have not been corrected. But here, she's the only mayor in the entire state of Illinois who has successfully passed right-to-work legislation, which is entirely anathema to people in organized labor. And it's really meant to drive wages down, not just for people in organized labor, but also in the private sector across the board. This is the agenda of this governor, and his disdain for hardworking men and women in this state, and his desire to drive down wages across the entire state of Illinois for everybody is so great that he's willing to sacrifice vulnerable populations of people. And he's willing to work with his comptroller to get her to wait until she's, 100% threatened with contempt of court before releasing payments to two of the most vulnerable groups in the state of Illinois, primarily disabled children and developmentally disabled seniors. I mean, oh my Lord, how is that happening? It's happening under this watch with this controller and with her favorite governor. So that's got to stop.
And we only have a few minutes left, you've been outspoken in your support of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, and you have called out your opponent for being less than outspoken about Donald Trump. It's a secret ballot. Why does she have to say anything?
Because when you're running for statewide office and we have the most despicable person running at the head of your party, you should take a stand on it. Most Republicans in the state of Illinois and nationally have, at the very least, spoken out against these horrific comments that Donald Trump has said. But most of them have pretty much abandoned him because they realize that he's not representative of the Republican Party. You know, I have lots of friends who truly consider themselves Republicans. And when I served in the legislature, I was very much a bipartisan legislator. I had so many personal friendships and working friendships with Republicans on the other side of the aisle. They're some of the best people I've ever known. And so for this person to like really take over that party and claim it as his, is really insulting to many people who truly do believe in Republican values. And maybe they're not the same ideology that I have, but I still like many people. I cannot say that about Donald Trump. When he talks about, locker room talk that didn't happen in a locker room, first of all, right? And talks about it physically and sexually assaulting women. When he makes fun of the disabled, when he talks about Mexican immigrants being rapists and murderers, I think of my father, that hardworking man who is a total benefit and an asset to the state of Illinois and this country. And instead of like denouncing this hateful and divisive, but most importantly, dangerous rhetoric, she continues to support the guy. She refuses to say that she is or is not voting for him, which by default means she's voting for him. And by the way, when he goes and talks about Mexicans being murderers and rapists, people like my father, 3 days later, she sits down and has lunch with this guy. Her campaign finance chair is Donald Trump's chairman here in Illinois. And her second largest contributor, one of only three people that have given her close to $9 million, is on his economic team. So, there's millions of reasons with dollar signs that can, connect the dots why she's not denouncing Donald Trump. She should be denouncing him the loudest possible terms. And it's not okay to say, I'm too focused on the state's problems. I would say she's been too focused on helping Governor Rauner multiply the state's problems. Because over the last 2 years, by every single measurable account, the state of Illinois is worse off than it was 2 years ago. And those aren't my words. That's even Crain's Business Magazine, which tends to go Republican. So they were elected to make things better. They did not create the mess. Let me be clear. They did not create the mess that they walked into, but they've made it exponentially worse instead of fixing it. And at the end of the day, after November 8th, my full focus is to figure out how I can contribute to being a solution to fixing the state's problems and stop putting blame all over the place. I didn't create the state's mess as much as she'd like to say I did. I worked very hard, and I've been a very, very hardworking and dedicated public servant. I'm honored to have been selected by the voters on 8 separate occasions. Now I'm asking them to give me an opportunity to be their fighter on this 9th occasion.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and we just heard from Democratic candidate for Illinois State Controller, City Clerk Susana Mendoza.